This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. All right. So inshallah, to go ahead and just jump right into the topic and the subject inshallah. I wanted to base the discussion here today, the topic that I have to share with you about shaitan and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, what He tells us in the Quran about shaitan. I wanted to primarily base this discussion off of one ayah within the Quran, and I want that to serve as a launch pad for the conversation that we're going to have today. That ayah is surah number 14, which is called Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 22. Now what's very fascinating, I'll go ahead and read the ayah and I'll give you a very brief summarized translation of the ayah. And I'd like for us to kind of explore the ayah and really understand what it's talking about. Excuse me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah, He says, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْرِخِيَّ إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. A very brief summarized translation of the ayah says that shaitan said, when everything had been decided, when the affair had been settled, when everything was said and done, that God made you a promise and His promise is the truth. And I made you a promise, but I lied to you, says shaitan. And I did not have any control over you, aside from the fact that I would invite you, I would persuade you, and you responded to me. You inclined to listen to my suggestion. So do not blame me, but blame yourselves. I cannot help you today, nor can you come to my aid and my rescue. Without a doubt, I completely disassociate myself from anything that you people have done and associated with me. And there is no doubt about the fact that those who do wrong, those who wrong their souls and cross the lines and boundaries that God has set, for them reserved exclusively is the most painful, tormentful punishment imaginable. This is the summary of the ayah, and subhanAllah, in the Quranic, you know, style and fashion, it's very straightforward. Most of it you're probably able to understand and decipher just from this. But I'd like for us to explore the concept just a little bit, particularly leaning upon, based upon some of the commentary that has been shared with us by classical scholars, by some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of the more profound insights that they've given to us in regards to this. So first and foremost, Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala, in a narration of Ibn Abi Hatim, Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala, he comments on this ayah, and he says that he basically lays out a scene. He said, where is this taking place? Where is shaitan having this conversation? And who is he having this conversation with? This almost seems like a public statement, like a public address. So what's exactly going on here? So he lays out the scene that after لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ, as Allah says, what that means is that the reckoning has been done. Those who are going to heaven have gone to heaven. Those who are going to Jannah have gone to Jannah. Those who are going to the fire of hell have reached the fire of hell. Everyone is settled into their final abode. And at that particular time, shaitan, Iblis, who we also know as, he stands up like a khatib. يَقُومُ خَطِيبًا عَلَى مِنْبَرٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. He stands up like a khatib, like somebody addressing an audience. And he stands on a pulpit made of fire. And while he's standing on that pulpit made of fire, he's addressing the inhabitants of hell. أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. He's addressing the people that are doomed to an eternity in the fire of hell. And he says to them there, because one of the interesting dynamics, you need a little bit of background about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in surah number 41, in surah Fussilat, he tells us, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا رَبَّنَا أَرِنَا الَّذَيْنِ أَضَلَّانَا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ نَجْعَلْهُمَا تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِنَا لِيَكُونَا مِنَ الْأَسْفَلِينَ. That when the people who have disbelieved and rejected the message from Allah, when they reach the fire of hell, over there they will call out and they will proclaim that, oh Allah, we know we are in no position to call upon you. We know that we cannot ask for any reprieve or any release from here. But what we request of you, what we ask you for is show us the people. Make available to us the people, whether they be jinn or ins, whether it's shaitan or bad people, who dissuaded us from the truth, who impacted us negatively, who recruited us to the bad things that we got stuck and involved in. رَبَّنَا أَرِنَا الَّذِينِ أَضَلَّانَا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Show us those people. Why? نَجْعَلْهُمَا تَحْتَ أَقَدَامِنَا. So that we can step on them, so that we can crush them. لِيَكُونَا مِنَ الْأَسْفَلِينَ. And they can be completely obliterated and humiliated and annihilated here today. So there will be this type of anger and violence that will take place in the fire of hell. And so this gives you a little bit of background. So as the inhabitants of hell are kind of closing in on Iblis and Shaitan, and they're encroaching upon him, and there's another very interesting hadith and narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he talks about something very interesting, very beautiful, and that is on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, all the people, all of humanity will be approaching the different prophets and the different messengers, asking them to intercede on their behalf. To intercede. The humanity will go to prophets and will ask prophets to intercede on their behalf. To ask God to begin the reckoning. To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lighten the wrath and the anger that they will feel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that particular day. It'll be a very, very frightening and scary moment. And as they go to these particular people, finally, the narration mentions that Isa alayhi salam will be the second last person that they will request to intercede on their behalf and to help them. And at that particular time, Isa alayhi salam, he will say something very interesting and very remarkable. He will actually instruct them to go and to find Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He will tell them to go and find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is from the narration narrated by Ibn al-Mubarak, by Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. So when they finally go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they will come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and ask him, can you please speak for us on our behalf in front of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, فَيَثُورُ مَجْلِسِي مِنْ أَطْيَبِ رِيحٍ شَمَّهَا أَحَدٌ. That the place where the Prophet ﷺ will stand up to, or where he will go and he will stand, the most beautiful fragrance that any human being has ever, you know, experienced, will be emanating from the Prophet ﷺ, will be emanating from the place where he stands, from the place where he sits. Like the Prophet ﷺ will just have this blessed, amazing aura about him. And he will go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hatta ata Rabbi. He says, until I will go and I will stand before my Lord and my Master Allah. Fayushaffi'uni. And then my Lord and my Master Allah will grant me the permission to speak before him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَيَجْعَلُ لِي نُورًا مِنْ شَعْرِ رَأْسِي إِلَى ظَفَرِ قَدَمِي. And there will be a light that will emanate from the hair on top of my head down to the down to my toes. There will be this light that will cover the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede on humanity's behalf, and Allah will accept his intercession. But then something very fascinating. وَقَدْ وَجَدَ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Then those who disbelieve, they'll say, قَدْ وَجَدَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ مَنْ يَشْفَعُ لَهُمْ فَمَنْ يَشْفَعُ لَنَا. So the disbelievers, those who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, and believing in Allah, and the message from Allah, they will say that those who believed, complied, submitted, they found somebody to speak on their behalf. We need somebody to speak on our behalf. فيقولون ما هو غير إبليس. It would obviously have to be Iblis. It would have to be Shaytan. Well, he's the one that we listened to. He's the one that we followed. He's the one that we were compliant to. So it's got to be Iblis. It's got to be Shaytan. هو الذي أضلنا. He's the one who convinced us of this. فيأتونه فيقولون قد وجد المؤمنون من يشفع لهم. And they'll tell him that the Prophet ﷺ speaks on behalf of the believers. من يشفع قد وجد المؤمنون من يشفع لهم فاشفع لنا فإنك أضللتنا. So you speak on our behalf since we followed you. فيثور مجلسه من أنتني ريح شمها أحد. And when Shaytan will stand forth and proceed forward, it will be the most horrendous stench that any creation of God has ever experienced coming from Shaytan. ثم يعذب نجيبهم. And then Shaytan will basically go and he will attempt to speak. And at that time, he will turn around. Instead of trying to intercede on their behalf in front of God, when he gets up to the pulpit, then he'll basically pull a plot twist. He'll turn around and face the audience that is standing behind him that wants them to vouch for them. And he will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Your mistake is the fact that God made you a promise and God was truthful with this promise. I made you a promise, but I was lying to you all along. I was lying to you all along. So this is kind of the backdrop of what we're talking about in Surah 14, Ayah 22. So now you can imagine all of hell is basically crowding in, they're encroaching in, they're moving in on Iblis, on Shaytan, to just completely annihilate him and satisfy, quench kind of their bloodthirst that they have at that moment out of their frustration with themselves. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He proclaims in the Quran, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا رَبَّنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them at that time that however frustrated you might be with yourself at this particular time, I was more angry and upset and frustrated with you every single time the message was brought to you, but you kept rejecting it. أَكْبَرُ مِن مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ إِذْ تُدَعُونَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ. So these people, out of their frustration, they're coming in on Shaytan. At that time, Shaytan addresses them. And what is his message? I want us to focus on his message just for a couple of minutes and really pick up on some of the lessons. Not that we're necessarily learning these lessons from Shaytan, but what we're learning from, and this is the profound, remarkable mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would like to make a little bit of a side note here. Whenever we talk about the fire of hell, people are very overwhelmed. People are very kind of frightened and scared. And they're like, you know, how is this some type of a message of inspiration? How is this a message of hope? How is this a message of encouragement? We're talking about hell. We're talking about people trying to kill each other in hell. And then Shaytan is talking, standing up and yelling at these people who are stuck in hell. Like, how is this helpful in any way, shape, or form to me? Because they feel overwhelmed by it. But what you have to understand, and this is our short-sightedness that we don't realize this, where are we reading about this? We're reading about it here and now. So we have every opportunity in the world to avoid this fate. That's the part we miss. Yes, the Quran very powerfully and very, overwhelmingly describes the fire of hell and the torment and the punishment. And it can be very overwhelming. But we're reading about it here and now. We have every opportunity to correct, make whatever course correction needs to be made. That's the mercy in all of this. So as we sit here and we read about the conversation between people in hell and Shaytan in the fire of hell, let's figure out what we can do to avoid that particular fate. So he says a few things. The first thing that he tells them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ. God made you a true promise. What is the promise of God? The promise of God is the fact that there is an afterlife, that there is resurrection, that there is accountability, that there are consequences, that there is a good and a bad, and a right and a wrong, and a light and a darkness. That's what God informed us. That's what Allah told us. And all of that is true in reality. For a lot of my younger brothers and sisters who are going through a particular dynamic and experience in their lives where everything that they believed or they've been told that they believe is being questioned, is being brought up for discussion, is being reevaluated, know for a fact that everything that we consider, that the Quran tells us, that the Prophet has told us, that we might entertain as being theoretical, as being possible, know that it's the absolute truth. And I know you're going to say that's easy for me to say now, but it'll be really hard for all of us to admit to in the life of the hereafter. And that's what Shaitan is saying. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ I promised you certain things, Shaitan says, but I lied to you. I was lying through my teeth. What's some of the things that Shaitan told us? He told us to live for the here and the now. What are some other things Shaitan told us? Shaitan told us that being devout, praying 5 times a day, giving charity, prioritizing our spirituality over our popularity, categorizing, prioritizing our character and personal development over materialism, that all of this was going to make us suffer in this life. All of this was going to put us behind the eight ball. All of this was a surefire path to failure. That's what Shaitan told us. That's what he tells us. That every single time you make the more difficult, correct choice, you're actually harming yourself. And I'd like to kind of get into a little something here, a little specifically. And I didn't want to get into too many specifics here. But I will highlight a couple of things. Understand one particular thing. When we talk about the persuasion, when we talk about how Shaitan works, how Shaitan operates, there's something that our scholars have said, have written about. And I understand that it's a bit gimmicky, but it's not completely untrue. Where they'll talk about things like Shaitan is more experienced than any of us. Shaitan is just more cunning and sharp than any of us. He's sharper than any of us. And that while that's a somewhat kind of, it's phrased in such a way to catch your attention, but there's a certain truth and reality to it. He's been playing this game for a very long time. He's a veteran. So what does he do? He's got the tricks. He knows the tricks of the trade. He knows what buttons to push. And so when you are praying 5 times a day, Shaitan will not come to you and say, do not pray. Like Dhuhr today, he won't come and tell you, don't pray Dhuhr. Because you as somebody who has some semblance of awareness and cognizance and awareness are not going to abandon prayer. You will outright reject the idea of abandoning prayer. If the thought crosses your mind, hey, you know what, Dhuhr? No problem, let's let it go. That will never be palatable. You'll never process that thought. Because you'll be like, well, that's ludicrous. That's obviously ridiculous. Why would I ever do that? So you'll reject the idea outright. So that's not how he's going to approach you. How he's going to approach you is he's going to say, look, I know that it's time for Dhuhr right now. I know they're making the Jama'ah for Dhuhr right now. But let's be honest, you've been here since 10 a.m. You're kind of tired, you're getting a little sleepy, started to doze off in the last session. And after Dhuhr, there's more sessions. Sheikh Yasser will be with us after Dhuhr. You really want to pay attention. You came particularly to listen to the Sheikh. So what should you do right now? You should go and get some coffee. You should go and get some coffee. Now it just so happens that the little coffee place that they have inside the hotel has a line of 300 Al-Maghrib people at it. Right? Because everyone's thinking the same thing. Shaitan's busy. So it's got a line of 300 people. So now you go, you're going to walk over to the parking garage, you're going to get in your car, you're going to pull out your car, and you're going to drive out over to the mall. And then you're going to go get your coffee, and then you're going to come back. And now what happens? They are already done praying Dhuhr. And then you're going to say, well, but the session already started. This was the session that I've been waiting for all day long. So you know what? Let me just go sit in the session, and then you can pray afterwards. So now you're going to come and sit down in the session. And then that session will finish, and the next session will start and be like, oh, this is the other session I was waiting for. And that session will finish, and you'll just start to think like, oh yeah, man, I better hurry up and pray my dhuhr. And then that brother, right? Like it's his fault, right? He's going to get up here on the stage and make the adhan for asr. And you'll be looking at him like, I can't believe you would do that to me. He did it. It's his fault, right? We should have prayed Hanafi asr, right? I see my two guys up here, so I had to like kind of give them a little shout out. But, right? So now what happened? Asr's here. And without overwhelming anyone here too much, and I honestly mean this, sincerely mean this, please forgive me. I apologize if this does seem very heavy to just kind of mention, but it's the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about, there's a more specific narration about asr, and then there's a more general narration about any prayer. Man fatatuhu salatun faka'annama wutira maluhu wa ahluhu. As somebody who just lets a prayer just slip through, wasn't sick, wasn't ill, wasn't stuck, wasn't trapped, but somebody who just kind of lets a salah, just kind of just slip through, just loses it like that, because it just wasn't important enough. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that such a tragedy has befallen that person. But maybe that person doesn't realize that if that person was to realize the scope of this tragedy, it'd be a greater tragedy than losing all your wealth and all your family. Right? We hear about natural disasters all the time. We live in Tornado Alley or whatever. Right? When a tornado touches down, and where there was a home, it just completely just vanishes, and there's nothing but just debris left afterwards. Think about the scope of that tragedy. Think about one family member from that family who had maybe gone to work or gone out, comes back to just find nothing but just debris of what used to be their family and their life. Think about what that level of that person's grief is. And now understand and realize the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the tragedy that's just befallen this guy that I was telling you about is greater than that. That's how shaitan operates. Now what naturally happens after that? Once that asr adhan is called, now there's guilt, which on an individual level can be helpful, but shaitan now further, he's going to turn that knife. And that guilt will become despair. And that despair will become frustration. And that frustration will eventually, very unfortunately, devolve, will rot, will fester until it becomes a full-scale crisis of faith. What kind of a religion puts that type of pressure on you? What kind of a God makes these types of demands of you? And then God forbid, wal a'yadhu billah, that person will say, well, I want nothing to do with such a religion or such a God. You see this, the trajectory and how terrible it was. This is how shaitan operates. So that's why we always have to be on guard. That's where taqwa comes in. Consciousness, awareness, diligence, cognizance. Being alert, always. And then he goes on to say, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So don't blame me, but blame yourselves. Don't blame me, but blame yourselves. And one remarkably, subhanAllah, in the Quran, so it is Allah teaching us this lesson, but through shaitan, such a terrible, reference. But through shaitan, look at the lesson Allah is teaching us. He's teaching us to take responsibility for our own actions. If y'all will allow me to just be very honest and real for a moment. One of the hallmarks of this generation is not accepting responsibility. Something is always someone else's or something's fault. Someone's fault, something's fault. There's always something that forces you, that makes you, that happens to you because of which this ends up happening. We are so averse to accepting responsibility. So averse to it. And this is where Shaitan is reminding us. Shaitan is telling us, accept responsibility. In the fire of hell though. What help is accepting responsibility to the inhabitants of hell? But again, we get to read this here so that we take and accept responsibility here so that we can change the course of what's going on over here. And we can address this problem before it becomes worse. It's okay. It's a baby. That's what babies do. They cry. Right? It's all right. And I want you to think for a second. I know that it kind of becomes like, oh my God, come on, seriously? I want you to think about the parent who has to deal with that. Right? Because I was dealing with that last night. But I want you to think about the parent who has to deal with that. Right? And then also just everybody kind of turning around and then the stares and then the sounds are amazing, right? I can't even make half those sounds with my mouth, right? I don't know what to do. Like it's a TSK, right? Yes? Okay. So, and just imagine how embarrassing it can be for, I don't think the parent should be embarrassed, but I'm saying you feel embarrassed in that moment. So don't compound it by the stares and things like that. It's not nice. It's not pleasant, right? The Prophet ﷺ was merciful towards children and he had a lot of affection and affinity for the parents who, you know, invest day and night into raising their kids. Okay. So as I was saying that Shaitan is saying take responsibility. In the fire of hell, we can take responsibility now. Stop looking for somebody to blame. It is not your parents' fault. It is not, well, what everybody else is doing. It is not Donald Trump's fault. All right? There's always somebody. Like you not praying Asr has nothing to do with Donald Trump. Right? That's a different problem. He's a different problem. There's no doubt about the fact that he's a problem. All right? But what I'm trying to say is that what does he or what does she or what does anyone have to do with the fact that I didn't wake up for Fajr this morning? But if I had a flight, I would have woken up on time. Right? What does anyone have to do with that? Take responsibility. So that's one of the big profound lessons from here, is taking responsibility. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْرِخِيَّ And nobody will be able to save or rescue anyone on that day. لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ No one will even be able to breathe, utter a word in front of God on that day unless Allah gives them permission and the place and the ability to do so. So take responsibility today. The last and the final thing that I wanted to utilize this opportunity to highlight and to talk about is just some practical tips on the remedy. Right? Shaitan is relentless, so we have to be repentant. He's relentless, and we're not perfect. So that leaves only one course of action, and that is repentance. That's all we have available to us. That's all we can do, right? So I wanted to talk about the remedy in terms of dealing with this onslaught, with this attack, with this external pushing and pulling that we're constantly dealing with. How do we stand strong against it? This external force. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا Shaitan is your opponent. He is your enemy. So identify him as such. Identify him as such. So now that I know that I'm playing against this person, I gotta fight against this person. So now what are my tools? What are my weapons that I need in this case? Number one, very, very fascinating. The first thing is that we have to rely upon our connection with Allah. Go ahead and call it dua. But we have to constantly be invoking the mercy, the help, the assistance of from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Rabbi a'udhu bika min hamazatish shayateen. Constantly ask Allah to protect you against shaitan. There's a very beautiful, you know, particular form of this dhikr or remembrance that the Prophet ﷺ used to make. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. That I take refuge with Allah from shaitan who's rejected and dejected and from his poking and prodding. Because he's always looking for a chance or an opportunity. وَنَفَخِهِ. And then the second thing shaitan does is shaitan will try to instigate. Shaitan will try to instigate. He'll try to make things flare up between you and people. The Prophet ﷺ in a narration, nafakh, he referred to it as kibr. The hamaz is the junoon or shaitan. Shaitan is like obsessive. He's obsessed with us. The nafakh is that shaitan is arrogant. So he wants you to be arrogant and walk around like an arrogant person being rude and obnoxious and picking fights with other people. And then the last point is nafath. And nafath basically means when somebody gets so close to you and speaks to you, and they are so passionately speaking to you, so close, that they're spitting on you while they're talking to you. You know, say it, don't spray it. Right? Say it, don't spray it. Some people when they talk to you, they share too much. Right? That's nafath. And what that basically means is shaitan will get it, come here and whisper to you. And he will never give up. He's relentless. So what do we have to do? We have to keep asking Allah to protect us from shaitan. Step number one. Constantly, all the time. And interestingly, in the Quran, one of the places where Allah tells us to constantly seek Allah's protection from shaitan is فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ. When you sit down to read the Quran is a part of your defense against shaitan and his onslaught. Read the Quran. But Allah did, and here he didn't say فَإِذَا تَلَأَيْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ. Don't just recite but read. What's the difference I would suggest here? That the difference that I would basically suggest here is the fact that you're not just reciting but you're reading. You get a translation. You read along with the translation. You try to understand what you're reading. But if you interact, if you work with the Quran every single day, that is a part of your defense mechanism, your shield against shaitan and his attack. The third thing that the Prophet ﷺ mentions in a very, very beautiful, powerful hadith. Oh, also I wanted to say about the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ tells us there are four times when shaitan, he basically cursed himself. Where he was miserable. And the last of those four times are when Surah Fatiha was revealed. The Quran is something that completely hits back shaitan with more force than he can deal with. And then the third thing from a very beautiful, powerful narration is the fact that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions in a narration as well, but the ayah of the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Surah number 3, ayah number 135. That those who did wrong, those who did bad things, or they transgressed the limits and the laws that Allah has set for them, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ. Then they immediately turn around and talk to Allah and speak to Allah and turn to Allah. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And they ask Allah to forgive the wrong that they just committed, that Allah completely forgives them and absolves them from the burden and the sin of what they've committed. When this ayah was revealed, one of the commentators on the Quran, some of the tabi'un, they've written and they've said that بَكَى إِبْلِيسُ. That shaitan, Iblis, when he heard this ayah, he broke down crying. And he started to cry. And what fed, what made him cry, what brought on that sadness was two things. Number one, not only the fact that the human being was afforded this opportunity to be able to immediately repent for the wrong that he had done, that shaitan felt like he was not given. Again, see, that's the quality. He wants to blame somebody else. And then the second thing is the fact that shaitan realizes, I had to work for days, maybe weeks, maybe months, to get this person to do this bad thing. And that person immediately turns around and says, oh Allah, I messed up. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, Allah. And immediately everything's reset. So talk to Allah. Ask Allah to protect you from this onslaught, from this outside attack. Secondly, build a relationship with the Quran. And thirdly and finally, is ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. It doesn't matter how badly you messed up. Immediately in that moment, the second it occurs to you, find a quick little corner. Go sit down somewhere quietly. Go stand in a corner by yourself and say, oh Allah, I messed up. Please forgive me. And you'll always find your way back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to practice everything that we've said and heard. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.